rapture, Lord, and we're seeing prophecy fulfilled and things getting closer and lining up. And just pray we'd be prepared, Lord. What an amazing opportunity we have in this day and age, God. So prepare us tonight, Lord, in your name. Amen. So Matthew 24, you guys are familiar with that. Is Jesus lays out things for his disciples as they're departing. They look at the temple and they show Jesus the buildings of the temple like he's never seen them before. But he shows them, like, look at how amazing these are, Lord. And Jesus says in verse 2, do you see all these things? I say to you that there shall not be here one stone left upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately and said, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the age? And a couple questions there that they're asking Jesus. You know, when is this going to happen? You know, the temple's going to be destroyed, and the sign of thy coming and the end of the age. And they thought when this temple's destroyed, that has to be when God returns, when Jesus is setting up his kingdom. When's it? And it wasn't. You know, Titus Vespasian, 70 AD, the temple, you know, they ransacked Jerusalem, the temple's destroyed, and we're still waiting for Jesus' return. Actually, the church is waiting for the rapture. That's the next great event. But he says this in verse 4, you know, when is this going to be? They asked him, and Jesus answers and says, take heed that no man deceive you. And deceit is going to be in an all-time high. And if you've watched the news and different things going on, you know, things aren't lining up. Things aren't making sense in many ways. And spiritually, things aren't lining up. People are going to be very deceptive. And Jesus said that is going to be the earmark of the days. If you want to know the time I'll be returning, they'll be very deceptive. Really, you won't know who to believe at times, even as the church. It'll be deceptive. And that's why, as the church, we need to stay in the Word of God. We need to know the Word of God. We need to know Bible prophecy. It says, take heed that no man deceive you. And he says this in verse 5, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and they'll deceive many. The Christ, really the Messiah, the anointed one, they're looking for a Savior. And he says, people will come in my name as that, with the answer. They'll have the cure, the answer. They'll tell you exactly what you need to do and exactly how to make it in this life. And that's really what we're seeing even now, right? We're in the middle of kind of a pandemic, but it's so amazing what's going on as you scan the news and see different things going on. It doesn't seem to be what they're telling us. But there is those who are rising up saying, I have the answer. You know, given the information you're being told, I have the answer and I have a solution. And this is just the beginning of things, you know. And even if this was all true and you know, some degrees it is, I think there's something out there that's contagious. But he says there's going to be a great deception and people are going to come on the scene saying they're the saviors, right? And really, Antichrist, if you know Antichrist, you read Revelation chapter 12, Revelation 13, Revelation chapter 13, the mark of the beast. And we're going to read that today because as we go through Daniel chapter 7, it really lays out, just like Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar's dream, it lays out the kingdoms of the world right up until the day that Jesus returns. It'll be the kingdom during the tribulation age. This really, it's going to be a revived Roman Empire. But Antichrist is going to have a system where people are marked, right? You guys know that, Revelation chapter 13. They're going to have this mark, 666. You've heard it. I remember when I was a kid, that was I'm like, what is 666? I'd look on everything. That's from the devil, you know what I mean? But now we see as things progress and move forward, that very easily we're going to be marked. And they're talking about that. You know, I remember teaching the book of Revelation and talking about, you know, the military and your pets and different things. They're marking them to know where they are, So if you lose an animal, or people were marking, like shepherds would mark their sheep. You know, people could mark cows. If they lost one, they know they could track them, GPS, find out exactly where they are. This is going to be, you know, the next level of that, you know, a tattoo. Here's a tattoo that's got all your information. You can buy and sell. It can't be torn off or used if it's not attached to you. All these things are on the scene right now. This is being laid out, and we're being told that that's really what you need. So we can tell if you've had a test, if you're positive or negative, and it's really, we're not going to let you in a store to buy or sell unless you have that. You know, you're not going to be able to. And this is kind of the beginning of it. This is, and it's happened in just a few months, you know. And then he goes on to say, and it's all tied to currency. I mean, this is a global thing. And it's global right now, what we're looking at. It says, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. That's happening. See that you, and this is on the increase. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines, pestilence, you know, pandemics, really. Earthquakes in various places. All these things are on the increase. They're on the rise. And he says all these, verse 8, are the beginning of sorrows. And we know that that word sorrows is birth pains. It's where we get our word tachometer. And it means it's revving up. You know, you rev up the engine, you're ready to go. And that's really the word tachometer there. And it's also the beginning tachometer of sorrows. Those are birth pains. You know, when somebody has birth pains, Matt, you know, when they start coming, they increase in frequency, right? And intensity. Why? Because something's about to happen here. And there's no turning back. And that's what we're living in days. There's no turning back. It's not going to get, oh man, our economy is going to recover amazingly. And this is all going to go away. No, it's going to get worse. There's going to be in between the birth pains, right? It's like, whew, catch your breath. Here we go. Everything's going to be up. What? It's happening again. You know, and that's us men. You know, it's hurting us and we're watching them. And this thing isn't going to slow down. This is going to be our economy. This is what is being pushed because it's going to happen. Antichrist is coming on the scene. There's no stopping it. The kingdoms are being set up. The nations are lining up. It's a European Union is what we have. And Jesus said, and since I'm here, it's probably going to save us some time. These are the beginning of sorrows. Jump over to verse 32, then I'll go back there. It says, learn the parable of a fig tree. When its branches are tender, and the fig tree is Israel. Okay, you need to know that in Bible prophecy, the typology there, the parable of the fig tree is Israel. When its branch is tender and puts forth its leaves, know that summer is near. Likewise, I say, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near even at the doors. And verily I say to you, that generation, the generation that sees this fig tree blossom, and it's the nation of Israel. May 14th, 1948, Israel, after hundreds and hundreds of years of being out of their land, it being occupied, trampled under by the Gentiles, the times of the Gentiles, which began, you know, when Babylon came in and ransacked Jerusalem. They never really had a homeland. It says when that happens and they take back the land, that generation won't pass away. So Jesus is earmarking deceit, all these things increasing, the nation of Israel becoming a nation again. And we see, and I think it was 1957, the revived Roman Empire coming from this confederacy. And we'll look at it. In 1957, there was a treaty of Rome where six nations there in Europe started a confederacy. 1979, They had elections. They started a currency, and now there's 12 nations, and it fluctuates. People drop in, and you know they come in and they go out every once in a while. But at the very end, there's going to be 10, and we're going to see that. And it's very easy to see. And their currency. I remember going, you know, traveling, you know, to Africa. I went through Europe a few times. And I don't know where it stands today or even when our economy was great back, you know, around Christmas time. I remember traveling through Europe, and a dollar didn't equal a euro. You know, if something was 2 euros, I'd have to give like $3 or $4. You know, and I don't know all the currency things, but I remember like, crud, we got to go to Europe. It's good. It's whatever it says. We got to pay them more in American dollars. You know, so their economy, and we know it can happen overnight. We see what our economy is doing. You know, we're not even facing and seeing what's going to happen from all the stimulus and people off, and we're not even going to see those repercussions for a little while. Their economy can boom just like that, because this is going to happen. It's guaranteed. You know, the Bible has been accurate, and that's what we're going to see back in Daniel, that everything that Daniel saw, all the different, you know, from Babylon to Medo-Persia to Greece to Rome, all those things happened. The revived Roman Empire, it's going to happen. We have the more sure word of prophecy that you can guarantee, you can stake your life on, this is going to happen, and we're right in the middle of it. We're seeing these things unfold before our eyes. It's exciting. It's a little nerve-wracking when you see what's going to happen, because if you jump back to verse 9, it says that they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and they shall kill you. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. If you're a Christian, if you're conservative, if you believe in the Bible, you're a racist, and you know you and they're going to label you so many different things because you and nothing's going to be true, but they're going to say you're all these different things. You'll be hated for my name's sake, and then shall many be offended, and listen, they'll betray one another, right? They're going to tell on you. You know, now it's the, you know, people are calling in people and getting upset if you don't wear a mask. They're going to betray you. They're going to tell on you if you're a Christian, if you're having a Bible study, or people come to your house, because, you know, it's coming soon to a neighborhood near you. Maybe not next week or next month. We potentially are an election away from things turning very drastically. We have a president, he's not a pastor, we have a president right now who's pro-life, pro-Israel, pro-family, pro-church, and pro-country. And that could change, you know, especially if we have mail-in ballots that who knows who counts them, that can be counted a month after the election, you know. I just got a ballot in the mail for Micaiah, my daughter, who's only 17. She won't be 18 till long after the election, you know. Can you vote at 17? I don't think so. And her name's on it. Here's the ballot. Here's your, you know, an absentee ballot. I'm sure they'll never count it if I voted for Biden or anyone else. Maybe. It's scary because they're going to betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets shall arrive and deceive many. People are going to rise up and just be deceptive. Very deceptive. Right? You think you know. Deception is something that's very hard to discern or know unless you know the truth, right? Because it doesn't come garbed in deception. You know, the devil's not going to come out having horns and a pitchfork and a tail with a red, you know, it's deceptive. Antichrist is going to be the most charismatic person you've ever met in the history of the world. The way Hitler deceived so many Germans. And Stalin deceived so many people in Russia, and you know, the guy in Italy, and you know what I mean. This is going to be crazy, charismatic deception, inspired by Satan. The devil's going to actually, literally, enter Antichrist. So, John 16, verse 2, it says, "When they kill you, they'll think that they're doing God's service, that they're doing God's work." They'll kill you and think, "I just helped you, God. These people are crazy," right? That's where we're going, and that's where we're headed. And this is just a birth pain, what we're going through right now. You know, I think I'm hoping we can see our way through and we can have another, you know, some more freedom. I worry about my kids a little, you know, the world they're heading into. But Daniel here, if you turn with me to Daniel chapter 7, it says this. We've got to kind of rush through it because I've just use 17 minutes of precious time. I think I said this in just a little video I shared to get people out to study. John Walvoord, who was the president of Dallas Theological Seminary, said, "The visions of Daniel provides the most comprehensive, detailed prophecy of future events to be found anywhere in the Old Testament." And we need to know the Bible. We need to know the Word of God. We need to know prophecy. 2 Peter 1:19 says we have a more sure word of prophecy. That's what in the Word of God we have something that no other book on planet Earth has. They claim to have it, other books, but we have it. We have a book that declares the end from the very beginning. When the Bible's written, that's why people want to discount Daniel and say it was written after the fact, because the prophecies are so exact in these kingdoms that are coming about, that are going to be. People are like, how could he predict that? How could they know? You know, it's exclusive. And application-wise, you know, God knows the future. God knows us. And I'm thankful. We're going to go through this prophecy, but I thought application-wise, it's very stirring to go through Bible prophecy, but I think we need to know that God knows who he purchased when he bought us, that we're flawed, that we make mistakes, because I've made plenty. Before I was a Christian, he knew what he was getting. You know, I heard a pastor say one time, you know, he knew what he was getting, and he overpaid for you and I, but he didn't care. He wanted to, and that's what he did. And he knew what he was getting. He saw in John chapter 1, you see Jesus calling some of the disciples and apostles. And he calls Peter. He says, "Simon, son of Jonah, you shall be called Cephas." He basically saying, I know who you are. I know who your dad is. I know who your family is. But I know what I'm going to make you. You're going to be different. When Philip went and got Nathanael, and Philip's, you know, Nathanael's coming to Jesus, Jesus says, look, there's a man who has no guile. There's no deceit found in that man. Literally a man full of integrity. That's who he is. And Nathanael's like, how do you know me? He says, listen, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. And what did that mean for a Jew? Because every Jew wanted to be under their vine and fig tree. It was a place of blessing. It was a place where priests, scribes, Pharisees, they would go under a fig tree and study and pray. And that's, Jesus was basically telling Nathanael, I heard you praying over there. I saw you praying. And Nathanael said, oh man, you're the Son of God. You know, it's amazing that God knows this and knows what he's getting. We have to get into this prophecy. We could talk about that for a long time. Daniel chapter 7, Daniel chapter 2, there's similarities. It overlaps with chapter 2. You know, Daniel chapter 2 is man's vision. A vision that freaked Nebuchadnezzar out, right? He was like, what is this statue and why did it get destroyed? You know, he's willing to kill everybody if somebody, you know, if nobody can interpret this vision. And Daniel chapter 7, everything that Daniel's gone through in his life and seen, the years, decades in Babylon, nothing freaked him out. We don't have any record of being freaked out. When Daniel gets this revelation, it says he's freaked out. Daniel's freaked out. Because really, this is God's view of these same kingdoms, right? Man's view, it's just these men in power. And Daniel, God's view is they're beasts. So it says this, in verse 1, first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions in his head upon his bed, and he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Literally, when he says, I told the sum of the matters, here's the cliff notes. You know, don't you wish he would have wrote everything? This is some of what this is the main points of what he saw in the vision. He says, Daniel spoke and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven strove upon the great sea. And it's Revelation 17 that says, you know, on many waters there were nations, peoples, kingdoms, and tongues. That's what these waters are. And Daniel's probably looking at the Mediterranean Sea and all these kingdoms that we see, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome are all there around, surrounding, bordering, touching the Mediterranean Sea, right? And that's where everything's going to come out of that revived Roman Empire. So they're there. So he sees this sea, but really it's a sea of people. And we're going to know what he says. He says, the wind strove. It meant there's this great struggle. It's a power struggle. And he says, and four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse from one another. And we know from verse 17, those beasts are kingdoms. It's a nation. Okay, we don't have to guess that. We'll figure that out right now. That the beasts are nations. And he says this, the first was like a lion. Okay, so this first beast is Babylon. So think back to the Nebuchadnezzar's dream. It's a head of gold. And he had eagle's wings. And I beheld it's a lion with eagle's wings. I beheld till its wings were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand upon its feet as a man, and a man's heart was given unto it. So the lion with wings is a Babylonian symbol, and really, and it's where Daniel was. That's where he was living. This one is easy. But Nebuchadnezzar, we know he became a beast for 7 years, till these times passed, seven times passed over him, and he became a beast. And then at the end, it says that he was lifted up. He was restored again, and his kingdom was restored. But I believe we're going to see Nebuchadnezzar in heaven because he praised, extolled the God of heaven. It changed Nebuchadnezzar. He became, he was radically saved by the God of the Bible. You know, whatever that looked like for the Old Testament, that's what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. So that's the current kingdom. It was the head of gold that Nebuchadnezzar saw that Daniel interpreted back in chapter 2. Verse 5 says, behold, another beast, a second, like a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between its teeth, and they said thus unto it, arise and devour much flesh. So this would be the Medo-Persian Empire. One side was higher than the other, this bear, that the army, their army was over 2.5 to 3 million people they manned. So it was this huge lumbering army. With one side higher, Persia is higher, the Medes were first, and Persia conquered them and amalgamated this Medo-Persian Empire under Darius and Cyrus. Cyrus, the Persian, is higher. So, and this bear has three ribs in its mouth. It conquered Lydia, Egypt, and Babylon. Those are the three ribs. Those are the major conquests that it had to become this world power. So he's describing that in a bear lumbering. I remember, and if you've ever read stories, outdoor magazines or whatever, I remember reading a story, a guy and his wife, they're walking a trail and here's a bear way behind them. And they get off the trail to try to, and they go through water and all of a sudden there's the bear back behind them. So in true story, I can't remember what magazine I read it in. And finally, and it's the woman writing it, finally, he's like, I'll stay here. And you keep going. This is after hours, this bear's tracking them. It's not running them down. And that's the picture here of this bear. It's a bear that's like 2.5 million men just conquering and destroying slowly. And that's what this bear did. I just thought of that story when I was thinking about this. And it just kept tracking them. Finally, it got the husband, killed him slowly. And it kept chasing the woman slowly until she, it started, they were both bike riding and one of their bikes went down and the thing was, it ended up getting the guy and he got killed, and it was this slow, methodical, just kept going after them. They kept picking up their scent. They kept trying to, and that's the picture here, this huge army that's destroying, and that's this Medo-Persian Empire that was so big and had these three huge conquests. These three ribs, one side's higher, that is Cyrus, the Persian. And then it says this, verse 6, after this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon its back four wings of a fowl, and And the beast had four heads, and dominion was given unto it. So it was given dominion, and this speaks of Greece, Alexander the Great, which in 12 years, he conquered the whole known world, right? He went up against Medo-Persia, 35,000 men against 200,000 to 300,000 in their army in one battle. And they were so tactical. They were like I know Navy SEALs, but whatever the guys are that are like the elite forces. That's what Alexander the Great was. He had these elite fighting, these guys. He didn't win by numbers. He won by, that's why it had four heads, four wings. It was this stealth, fast, brainy, amazing conqueror. He conquered the world in 12 years and then died. He was so sad that there was nothing else to conquer. He drank himself and he died at like 32 years old, between 30 and 32 years old. He got sick, he got drunk, left out at night, different things happened. So the story goes, but he died at a very young age, had conquered the whole world at 32 years old and died. What does it profit a man if he gained the whole world, right? And so that's his empire, the four wings, obviously speed, intelligence. He had four generals. When he died, he passes the kingdoms on and they split up this Grecian empire into four kingdoms to his generals and it passes on. And then it says this, and this is what freaked Daniel out, I think, the most, was this last kingdom. And it says this, after this I saw in the night visions, we gotta hurry. In the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible. He can't even describe it. We're gonna read Revelation 13 real quick, and you'll get a description, because that's the parallel passage to this. He says, it was dreadful and terrible, strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and broke in pieces and stamped the residue with its feet. And it was diverse from all the other beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. And that's really the transition where you see this revived Roman Empire. When you see the horns come out, then that's where it's really going to be this revived Roman Empire. And then he goes on to talk about that, the 10 horns. He says, when I considered the horns, because that's different, if you see an animal, maybe it's got one horn or two horns. I shot a deer one time that had, two horns coming out of its head. Obviously, it's got horns coming out, and it had one coming out of its eyebrow. Three horns is unusual. This one had 10 horns, which made it very, so he says, I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before which there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. So really, it either conquered or sucked in these other three, and we know they're going to be kingdoms, is what they are. As we read the description, this horn comes up, and the little horn is Antichrist. Just so you know, the last days, this revived Roman Empire, Antichrist literally is going to come into a man, a beast, they call him in Revelation. And it says the dragon really goes in Revelation 12, the dragon is Satan. And chapter 13, that he literally, just like he went into Judas, and Judas wanted God, Satan wanted to thwart God's plan of saving planet Earth by entering into Judas, betraying Jesus. He thought, that's it. We'll get this guy crucified and killed. And really, that's what saved humanity, that he went to. And that's what the devil's plan is here. We're going to conquer this world. And he enters into the beast and gives him all his power. We'll read it in just a minute, better than I read it, than I try to explain it. So it says, behold, the horn, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking great things. And it means he's going to be able to have great vision. He's going to know exactly, he's wise, and he's going to have this mouth that's going to be a mouth of not only blasphemy, but he's going to deceive, right? That's the idea. He's going to be a very, very deceptive person. And charismatic. Revelation chapter 6 describes Antichrist. He comes on the scene on a white horse, right? I ask the kids when I teach Revelation, who do you think this is, guys? This rider on a white horse. Who's that always? It's the hero. It's the Lone Ranger coming in, right? It's this is the hero. But no, Antichrist doesn't mean against Christ. It means in place of Christ. Here's this false Messiah, a Savior, somebody that's going to come and bring the whole world together economically, socially, all the disease. He's going to be the answer man. It says he's going to come having a bow, right? And it's not a bow and arrow, but it's a bow like a rainbow. He's going to have a covenant. He's going to bring a peace treaty. It says he's going to come and conquer, conquering and to conquer. He is going to have such great power, he's going to bring the whole world under his spell. And Satan's going to be there, empower him, and God's going to let it happen. This is all part of the tribulation. This is all going to lay out and play out. And he's going to be super deceptive. Right? The rainbow in Genesis 6 is what God, or in Genesis, is what God gave Noah. It was the promise to never, it was a covenant. And that's what he's going to come. He's going to have a covenant, a promise, right? And he's going to deceive everybody. They're going to think he's amazing. This is the guy that we need on the scene, right? And he's going to do miracles. Let's turn to Revelation 13 with me quickly. We'll read that. I got to not rush this chapter, but I do got to get through it. Revelation 13 says this. Here's the beast. I stood upon the sand. This is John's vision. I stood upon the sand of the sea, right? So he's on the shore of the sea, and this is people. And I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads, 10 horns. So a little more descriptive. This is what Daniel's leaving out, some of it. Remember how I said that this is the sum of the matter? This is some of the stuff Daniel left out. Having 10 horns, and upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. That's going to be his spirit. And the beast which I saw, and look at the description, was like a leopard. Its feet were the feet of a bear. Its mouth was the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his throne and great authority. So the devil literally goes inside of this man and possesses him. And it's a kingdom. It's you know, the leopard, the bear, the lion, all, again, from that region, from that that area of Mesopotamia and that sea region. And that's where, you know, this European Union is going to rise out of that same place. And I saw one of his heads as though it were wounded. And this is going to literally happen, just like, you know, it's Satan's counterfeit. Jesus was killed and put into a tomb and resurrected 3 days later. Here's Satan's counterfeit. I saw one of his heads as though it were wounded to death. And his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. It's going to be a miracle. And the world is going to say, who is this? This is the Messiah. That's why Jesus said, be careful of deception. People are going to come in my name saying, I'm the Christ. I tell my kids all the time, know the Bible. If you don't, you're open to deception. You're open to whatever people tell you. It says they worshiped the dragon who gave power to the beast, and they worshiped the beast. That's what Satan wants. That's, you know, Ezekiel, Isaiah. He says, I'm going to exalt my throne above the throne of heaven. I'll be like the Most High. This is what the devil wants. And they're going to worship him, and they're going to say, who's like the beast, and who can make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And we're going to read that in Daniel, that's what, you know, this last kingdom is going to do. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things, blasphemies. Powers was given unto him to continue 42 months, and he opened his mouth and blasphemed against God, and blasphemed his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And we have to read this because it's going to explain, it's going to save me a lot of explanation in Daniel. And all that dwell on the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the Lamb's book of life. They're going to worship this guy, but they're not going to heaven. The only way you're going to heaven is if your name's in the Lamb's book of life. Slain from before the foundations of the world. If any man has an ear, let him hear. And he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. And he that killeth with a sword must be killed with a sword. That's the persecution. Here's the patience and faith of the saints. And I beheld, here's the false prophet, I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and it had two horns like a lamb. You know, the horns speak of power, and he spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and he causes the earth and all that dwell on it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he does great wonders, literally miracles, so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. He deceives them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles, which he had the power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, and they should make an image to the beast that had the wound by the sword and did live. And he had power to give life to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many who has not worshipped the image of the beast should be killed. And listen, he causes, verse 16, he causes all, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark in their right hand or their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell except that he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. And here is wisdom. Let him that understandeth count the number of the beast, for it's the number of man, and his number is 666, or 666. And that number freaked me out before I was saved. And then when I got saved, I was like, I got to figure out 666. I remember a guy told me, look on the labels of a bottle and this little, you know, whatever those little marks are called, the lines. Years ago, when I first got saved, there was a 6 at the beginning, a 6 in the middle, and a 6 at the end. I'm like, these people are, this is 666. It's right on my body. It's right on everything I buy. It's not that way anymore. That's not it. So, the amazing thing and what got Daniel through is the kingdom that's coming. It's what Nebuchadnezzar saw, this rock come out of heaven, and it smashed the toes, and it formed and became a mountain and filled the earth. It's God's kingdom. It's where Jesus rules and reigns in righteousness. It's where the wolf will lay with the lamb. The child will play on a viper's den. It's where people are going to beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. It's going to be a kingdom of peace where Jesus Christ rules. And that's what we're looking forward to. And so that's where we, you know, verse 9, we'll just read a lot of these verses because it's been 40 minutes. I'm going to finish here up in about 5 or 6 minutes. I beheld till the throne was placed. The thrones were placed. And the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool, and his throne was like a fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. Okay, we don't have time to go through all the imagery, what Daniel saw, but he says, a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him, and 1,000 thousands ministered to him, and 10,000s times 10,000s stood before him, and the judgment was set, and the books were opened. You read about that in Revelation chapter 20, about it, the books were open, the book was open, and then the books were open, and it literally speaks of the Lamb's Book of Life. If your name's not in there, then the books are open, that there's a record, literally a record in heaven of our life. And it says that you're judged out of those books if you're not born again, that there's a record being made in heaven, and there's instance after instance that records are being made in heaven of different things. Those who praise the Lord, our tears are kept in a bottle. So, but there's a record of our wrongs. And it's massive because God looks at the heart. But if we're born again today, our name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so it says this, the books were open. I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spoke. Imagine being before the Lord and all of a sudden this horn speaks. It's Antichrist. And I beheld even till, so he speaks and then this happens. I beheld till even the beast was slain and its body destroyed and given to burning flames. And you read that in Revelation 2. We don't have time, that the beast and the false prophet are cast into outer darkness. And as for the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. And I saw in the night vision, behold, one like the Son of Man, so this is God's kingdom, came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days. So the picture is, you know, of the Son coming to the Father. And they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion, glory, a kingdom, that all people, nations, languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass, and his kingdom, which shall not be, destroyed. So that's the kingdom we're looking forward to. That's what I think encouraged Daniel in all this, is the final kingdom isn't Satan's kingdom. It's God's kingdom, and that's our focus. You know, at the end of this chapter, it says that I kept the matter in my heart. I don't think it meant I kept it secret. I think, and that's part of it, I think that's what drove Daniel. God, I'm looking for your kingdom. This truth, prophecy, it's stirring me every single day. He kept it in his heart. I think that's vital for us as believers. So let's just finish reading the chapter. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit, in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. Right? So Daniel hasn't been troubled up to this point, but now he's troubled, right? Getting thrown in the lion's den, it didn't say Daniel was troubled. You know, not eating the king's meat and having to stand before Nebuchadnezzar, who, you know, plucked the guy's eyes out, you know, killed his kids, plucked his eyes out, and you know, Nebuchadnezzar was nuts. Daniel was not afraid to not defile himself and say, you know what, I'm not going to do that. But this freaks him out. He says, I came near to one of them that stood by, probably an angel, and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of these things. These great beasts, which are four kings, who shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom. Remember this, Daniel. The saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom, possess the kingdom forever and ever. Remember that, Daniel, because it's going to get worse before it gets better, though. And he says, then I would have you know a truth, verse 19, of the fourth beast. This is the beast, this is what we're looking for. This is the day we're living in, which was diverse from all the others, exceedingly dreadful. Teeth were of iron, nails of bronze. It devoured broken pieces. It stamped the residue of its feet. Remember the vision in Revelation. It has bear's feet. So it's that this massive army that's just lumbering and conquering. It has lion's teeth. It's this massive amalgamation of all these nations put together. And the ten horns that were in its head, and of the other which came up, and before whom three fell, even of that horn that had eyes, and a mouth that spoke great things. You're going to be a great orator, speaker, the best speakers that you've ever heard, you know, won't pale in comparison to this guy, whose look was more stout than its fellows. And I beheld, listen, the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. You'll read that in Revelation chapter 12, how these are tribulation saints and these are the Jews. It says that the dragon wanted to destroy the child, which was Israel. We don't have time to go there. If you read Revelation 12, it'll make a lot of sense. The devil focuses on, and it says the earth swallowed the child up. And it flees to the wilderness, and it's Petra. There's this city that's vacant right now that the children of Israel, these Jews, are going to flee to. That's a whole city, and they're going to be protected there. You can look it up online. You can watch Indiana Jones. It's in that movie and probably other movies, that there's a literal city, and there's and people, Christians, are dropping Bible tracts off to and Bibles and leaving notes, because that's where they're going to flee to. The rock city of Petra. And so it says they're going to prevail. And then he switches after he chases them. It says then he turns his attention in Revelation 12 on people who want to follow the Lord. And they're killed and slain. Okay? And we read chapter 13. We talked a little bit about persecution there. We just don't have time to read Revelation 12. Read it on your own. You can read about God's kingdom, Isaiah 2, Isaiah 11. Read those chapters if you'd like. It says, until they prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. So he keeps encouraging Daniel in this. That, you know, the saints are going to possess the kingdom, Daniel. Don't worry. And thus he said, The fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom on the earth, which shall be diverse from all the other kingdoms and shall devour the whole earth and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. It's going to devour the whole earth, right? It's different. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first and shall subdue 3 kings, so repetitive, and he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. It means that there is going to be, during the tribulation period, there is going to be constant pressure on people. And if you know the pressure you feel, like the worst day of your life, there's so much pressure, that's the pressure that people are going to feel in the tribulation. And people think, I'll just get saved in the tribulation. You're not going to, you could, and you might, but are you willing to take that chance? If you know, we can't live for them in this pressure. Will people be willing to live for them under this constant pressure where people will kill you and they're thinking they're doing God's service? It's going to be intense. Every day is going to be the worst day of your life. He shall wear out the saints of the Most High. And think to change times and laws. He's going to have some radical change in this world. He's going to change times and laws. Just think about it for a minute. You know, that's happening now. And it's not hard to see now, even in this country. And they shall be given into his hand until a time, times, and dividing the time. So that's the last three. There's a tribulation period, middle of the tribulation period, where Antichrist is going to go into this rebuilt temple in Israel, and he is going to desire worship. It's the abomination of desolations, and that's when it becomes the great tribulation, right? This is, you know, tribulation period, 7 years. It's going to get intense the last 3.5 years. So that's when it's going to get really intense. But the judgment shall sit, verse 26, and they shall take away his dominion and to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. Look up, Daniel. There's a greater kingdom that we serve, live for, and that's coming. And he says, here's the end of the matter. As for me, my thoughts much troubled me. When I saw this, I was troubled. When I learned this, I was troubled. And my countenance, you know, even my face changed. Daniel, who dealt with so much, and he's like, whoa. He says, but I kept the matter in my heart vital for us. Prophecy, knowing the Bible, knowing the truth, knowing what's coming, it's defense for us. It's defense for the church. He said, I kept the matter in my heart. We need to do that as believers. So, Lord, we just love you. Thank you, God. Thank you for the patience of these guys, Lord. I'm wearing them out. With my Bible study here, Lord, we're so thankful for your word. We're so thankful for your truth. So thankful that we have it. God, we're living in exciting days. God, we want to shine brightly for you. It's not hard to do as these days are getting darker. Make us bold. Help us to see deception, Lord, but be testimonies in this life. We want to be and do what you would do, Jesus, in every way. God, we want to be really like Nathaniel. You saw him. You said, there's a man with no guile, great integrity. He's not being deceptive at all in any way ever. That's what we want to be in this life. We want to shine for you. We want to love you, serve you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.